Well, I appreciate your prayers this morning. Lord, bless the words that are spoken, that they would be edifying to us. We'd be able to be fed and to grow by them. I'd like to consider this morning, the thought the Lord's been talking to me about. I'd like to consider the thought of effort. I've seen, and we'll say I've even been inspired by, or challenged by, maybe is the word to use, the amount of effort that some people are willing to put into a project or the goals that they set before them on a number of different fronts. It can be, well, there are some of the engineering marvels of the world and things that were quite a feat of engineering and ingenuity, and that required a lot of effort, required a lot of dedication, a lot of perseverance that people were willing to put into being able to accomplish a goal that they had in mind. Think about it in the business world. There are a lot of people who have started out, particularly in our nation, to start their own business. Many people are very successful today. Well, I've read and heard, as no doubt you have as well, stories of people who perhaps in high school they dropped out of school and decided that schooling thing wasn't for them. They wanted to start their own business. Well, that sounded pretty appealing to me whenever I was in school, and different people I've heard use that argument to say, well, they didn't finish school, so why should I have to either? But you know, it wasn't just somebody was born such a genius that they dropped out of school and the next day they had a successful business that was bringing in large incomes. There was something else, another element or another ingredient that very often had to go into the equation to make the business a successful business, to cause it to be able to get off the ground and get a foothold and get established in their respective market. There was another element beyond just smarts or beyond just having a brilliant idea. Very often there's a lot of effort that goes into it. Thomas Jefferson was quoted as having said, "I find that the harder I work, the more luck I seem to have." And the whole idea behind that is it's not nearly so much luck as many people would say. Well, they were just born lucky, or they just had a stroke of good luck. There is another element there many times, and I know that there are those born into prosperity and so forth, but very often, whenever people would, as is easy to do and is common in our world today, to sit back and to kind of pit one class of people against another and talk about those big corporations and the wealthy 1% and this and that. And it's easy to sit back and to criticize and to say, well, I wasn't born into the 1%. I wasn't. But you know, many people were not born into the 1%. There were many people who were willing to give of themselves. And I'll say, many times to the detriment even of their families and their home life and their health, they were willing to give, and please understand, I'm not a proponent of that. But I want us to just get the picture here of a people or an individual that had a purpose and a goal in their life, and they didn't just sit by and wait for it to be brought to them. They didn't just sit by and look disparagingly at the other people who had it. They set about through great effort and determination to be able to achieve that. And so people give and sacrifice years of their life. Worked with one man that he would come in, I don't know, 5 or 6 in the morning. I worked at the time, second shift. And he would still be there sometimes into 11 o'clock at night. He was still in his office working away, and on the weekends, day after day, week after week, this is what he gave himself to. He was successful and he was good at what he did, but you know, it cost him something. He would talk about his divorce and his family that was in ruins, and Things didn't work out. He made a choice. He made a choice of what was important to him. And he gave himself to that many, many hours on end. But there are people who are willing to sacrifice to accomplish the goals that they set before themselves. And they're willing to deny themselves, often to great extents, to make it happen. The Olympics comes around, what is it, every 4 years, is considered to be the, I suppose, the crowning athletic event that there is. If you can reach the Olympics, you've really done something. I'd never be able to reach it unless I paid admission to get there somehow. But people set this goal in mind that they want to reach that. People will start out in some kind of sports or minor league and have the idea and the ambition that I want to make it to the pros. Not many people do. But those that do, it's oftentimes through some sacrifice on their part. I was reading a little bit about athletes that are preparing for the Olympics. And it's not something that you decide a month or two before the Olympics. You know, I think I want to try out for the Olympics. You know, I think I'd like to be able to win the gold medal. And so you show up at the Olympics and you compete. It doesn't start there. It starts many times, and on average, as I read, 4 to 8 years prior to the Olympics. You start the process of preparing for it, and indeed many times much sooner than 4 to 8 years before. Some of what the world considers as the greatest athletes that have competed started at the time that they were children. They had an aptitude, and that aptitude was encouraged and fed, and whether it was tennis or gymnastics or whatever it was, they spent hours of their day on the mat or on the field or the court or whatever it was. They devoted themselves, got up early in the morning before school, even as children, and they'd go out practicing on the court. And they'd get out and they'd spend hours and training and physical training and all of those things that they would go through from the time they were children. There's effort that goes into it. On average, I guess you could say studies, those that have researched and studied the lives and the training regimen of those that have competed and been successful, they say that it's about 10,000 hours that you have to devote to really being able to be professional as something like that, or really at anything. It's not just sports, but these athletes have a goal in mind and they're willing to spend on average about 10,000 hours to prepare for and be ready to compete for that event. Well, 10,000 hours is a lot of time. You can do the math, figure it up in your mind. If you were to spend 4 hours a day or 8 hours a day, we can do the math and see how long that would take. For context, the FAA only allows a commercial pilot, those who day after day after day, it's all they do all day every day, flying across the globe, the FAA only allows them to clock a maximum of 1,000 hours in a year. 10,000 hours is a lot of time. It's a lot of time that could be spent doing something else. There are a lot of people who would like to be able to be in the Olympics. A lot of people who would dream of being able to take home a gold medal. But there are few people who are willing to put the effort into it to accomplish that. Now, I want us to understand, of course, this morning, something much more valuable than the Olympics. Something much more valuable than starting and establishing a successful business. I'd like for us to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 24th verse, Paul said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." There are many who, again, would love to be able and might even start down the path of preparing for something like the Olympics. But there's only one gold medal at the end of it. And that's what those who are really determined, I don't believe that there's probably ever been anybody who's taken home the gold medal who did it by accident. I don't think there are any who took home the gold medal that didn't prepare for it, that didn't sacrifice of themselves to be able to take it home. There's one that receiveth a prize. There are many that have the desire. There are many that start out. There are many that compete, but only one that wins the prize. Well, thank the Lord there's more than one that can win this eternal prize. But the idea that Paul is trying to impart here is this level of effort and urgency and desire that is within an athlete to compete and to be able to win. That's not just out there for the social aspect of it. That's not just out to run shoulder and shoulder along next to somebody and visit as you're running. They're there for one reason, and that is to compete and take home the highest level medal they possibly can. So run that ye may obtain. Have that same kind of desire, that same kind of drive, that same kind of determination to win that they have. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. And we see that in their training regimen. You look at the schedules they set for themselves. It's not often that they're sleeping in and eating whatever they want and laying around. It's a very disciplined schedule. It's a very strenuous schedule that certainly I wouldn't be able to keep up with. But it's something that they give themselves to. They deny themselves on many fronts to be able to win this prize and to be able to have their body conditioned to the point that they can compete on the most demanding of level. So run that ye may obtain. How much are we willing to give to win our eternal prize? How important is it to us? Are we going to be as those who say, you know, it'd sure be nice to be able to win a gold medal. I sure hope someone will give one to me. And you know, we're not going to win our eternal prize that way. We're not going to win our prize looking around at other people and saying, you know, they just have it easy. Yeah, it seems like they just have a knack for this. It seems like they were just born with faith, or they just don't have these other problems that I have. They don't have these other challenges or limitations that I have. I'd sure like to be able to go to heaven, but it's going to require more than a would like to. It's going to require more than a desire. It starts with desire. But many there are that start out. Many there are that say, I want to go to heaven. But there's not very many that keep with the race. How determined are we? How much are we willing to sacrifice and deny ourselves for this cause and for this purpose? You know, we can look at our, I didn't do the math, how many hours are there in a week? 24 times 7, you can do the math there, that are hours in the week. And you know, it can seem like to us, perhaps, or maybe the devil would introduce the idea to us, well, you just don't have time to spend any more time with the Lord. How many hours are these doors open in a week? What is it, Sunday? We're here from 9:30 to 3:30 or so, 6 hours on a Sunday. Of that, we're maybe 4 hours in service. The Wednesday night, another couple hours that we gather together and have the doors open. If we have 6 hours in the week, what fraction is that of the number of hours that are given to us? How much effort am I willing to put in? How much of my time am I willing to devote to a cause? Is the cause important enough to me to say I'm willing to deny myself some things. I'm willing to give of myself because I want to win. You know, they do things, these athletes, they do things that aren't required of them to be able to live. They do things that the average person who's just going to go into the office and come home and sit, maybe once a week go out and mow the grass, you wouldn't have to do these kind of things if that's all you're needing to be able to accomplish. But they go to further lengths. Nobody's making them. Oh, they'll hire a trainer that'll try to keep them on task and push them. But really the decision is theirs if they are to say that it's too much. I just really don't want to give myself this much. But what I want us to get a hold of is they do it willingly. They do it because they have a vision of a crown, of a medal, and maybe the glory that's associated with it. But how cheap the glory. How cheap the prize that they're striving for. And how short-lived the glory. Read of those that have spent their lives, years preparing for the Olympics, and they've won their medals, and they went home, and they were sunk into a depression by their own words. They're in a place now, they're depressed, they don't know what to do with their lives. What's next? I haven't learned anything else. This is all I've devoted myself to. And now the glory is gone, the cameras aren't pointed at me anymore, and I go back to my life, and now what do I do? Well, what Paul, I believe, is trying to impart to us in this passage of these men, women that strive for the mastery and are willing to be temperate in all things, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we an incorruptible. And I believe the message that the Lord would have us to get out of this, if they're willing to do it for that, how much more should we be willing to do it for the crown that's laid up for us? Folks, this glory is not short-lived. This glory isn't only when the cameras are pointed on us and the lights, spotlights are shining on our face and there's a shiny medal and you hear the applause from the stadium around us. This glory is an eternal glory that never ends. It is an eternal glory that goes on and on and on into eternity with the Lord. The joys and the happiness and the rejoicing of it never subsides. We'll never find ourselves sunk into a place of depression and what do I do with myself now? Folks, this is an eternal glory that never fades away, that never passes away. And we've got but a short time here below to prepare for it. The scriptures teach that the Lord is returning for a people that are prepared for the Lord. This is our time of preparation. This is our time to get ready for a crown that's laid up for everyone. As Paul said, that's laid up for not only to me, but to everyone that loves His appearing. To everyone that sets their eyes upon the prize and their determination that I want to win that, no matter the cost. That's what many who have gone before us have done. They were willing to deny themselves on so many fronts. Deny the flesh and deny the pleasures and comforts of life and the accolades and praise of people around them for something that was greater. It's what Moses did whenever he counted as nothing the riches of Egypt. He despised that and he esteemed greater the recompense of reward. He found something that was more valuable and more to be desired than all the pleasure and riches of Egypt that was set before him. And it caused him to be willing to deny himself. It caused him to be willing to suffer with the people of God for a season. How much are we willing to suffer? How much are we willing to deny of ourselves? How much are we willing to say no to what the flesh wants to do or what this body wants to do and what seems like the right way or seems like a pleasurable way? Is there a cost? that we would say is too great a cost for me to give for this crown. Maybe if I really think about it hard, I'd have to say no. But it's really more than the words that I say. It's what I do with my life. It's what I do in the decisions that I make every day that say where my value is, that testifies to what's really most important to me. What is it that we're striving for this morning? A corruptible or an incorruptible crown? I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, bringing into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul reached that time when he said, now the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've not thrown it aside. I've not given up on it. I've not gotten discouraged and lax along the way and let it slip from my fingers. But it's here right before me now. And it's laid up for every one of us. But there's going to be some effort that's required on our part. This is a crown and a prize that will not be uncontested. It's not going to just be handed to us without any kind of contest. For there is an enemy of our soul that will contest us every step of the way. There is an enemy that I am going to have to fight with that's not going to let it go easily. We're not going to be able to just skate into heaven. We're going to be contested. We're going to be tried. Our determination is going to be tested sometimes. It may seem like almost to the limit. Book of Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew 11 and 12, Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Another one of the Gospels, he said, the kingdom is now, and every man presseth into it. Well, this is strong language. It denotes the idea of somebody being willing to lay whatever effort is required to be able to obtain the prize, to be able to press into the kingdom of heaven. We have examples that are given to us in the Gospels of people that would come to Jesus, believing and knowing that Jesus had something that they needed. There was one man who was too short to be able to see him. You know, at a time like that, discouragement can set in. I'd like to be able to see Jesus. I sure wish I was as tall as all these other fellas. You know, if I was way up there, I'd be able to see him too. I don't know why I was born this short. I don't know why God allowed me to be like this so that I can't see Jesus. It's just not fair. It's just not right. I'm going home. But that wasn't his approach. Because he was little in stature and he couldn't see Jesus, he said, I'm going to climb the tree there. I'm not going to let the impediment stop me. I'm not going to let that which would hinder me stop me. There's something that I want here. There's something that I need. I need to see Jesus. And because of that, Zacchaeus went home a different man. And he went home no longer alone. He went home with Jesus, right in his house with him. There was a woman who had an issue of blood who said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. But the problem was, Jesus wasn't there within easy reach. There was a press of people thronging around Jesus, and she had to have the determination to say, I'm going to get to him. And maybe it was a little rude, and maybe she had to elbow her way through, and whatever it required, she kept on going until she reached down and touched the hem of his garment, and she received the prize. There was a man who was sick with a palsy, and he couldn't even get out of bed. His friends brought him on his bed and brought him to the house where Jesus was, and I can imagine the sinking feeling as they come down the street and they see from a ways off, oh no. All these other people have already beat us to him. There's a crowd of people. There's no way we're going to get in the house. We'll be waiting out here all day long. You ever have to battle discouragement? You know what discouragement does to us? Discouragement takes away our desire to fight. Discouragement takes away our oomph, our zeal. It takes away, it replaces instead thoughts like this. What's the use? Why even try? There's no use. I'm not going to be able to. I just can't. And those kind of thoughts that would try to set in and take over our mind, that is designed for one purpose. It comes not from the Father of lights. It comes from the devil, who's trying to discourage us and turn us around because he knows if we keep going, we're going to get there. And so the devil wants to fight a battle in the battlefield of our minds to get us discouraged and thinking there's just no use. To somebody that has tried before. To somebody that has tried and failed. You know, it's harder every time someone fails. It's harder for them to, a little bit harder to come back to the Lord. A little bit harder to get things right with the Lord. There's this nagging thought of discouragement that would come up and say, I want to, but I just don't know if I can. I want to, but I've tried it before. And I tried it before that. And I just don't. What's the use of trying? What's the use of reaching out again? But this man sick of the palsy, I wish I could have heard the conversation that happened. I can only imagine. But maybe the realization, you know what? If I go back home, I'm still going to be a palsy man. If I go back home, I'm still going to be laying on my bed. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go back. I might as well go forward and we'll find a way. They get up there and the people were there to see Jesus, so they probably weren't just real ready to part the way and let the man in. Still didn't get discouraged. There's got to be a way. There's got to be a way through this. And Lord, help us to have that mindset and mentality to realize there is a way. Whenever I get to something that seems so discouraging, and discouraging thoughts come in, and I say, I just don't know. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can get there. I don't know if I can be what I want to be. To realize by the grace of God, well, let's stop there for a minute. The grace of God is a wonderful gift. The grace of God does what we're not able to do. But the grace of God will not replace what I am able to do. The grace of God is not a magic pill or a magic potion that's poured out on us while I'm saying, oh, I can't do it, I can't do it. And all of a sudden the grace of God hits it and off and it happens. There is still a part that is required from us. There is still, this man still had to be willing to apply the effort. He still had to be willing to, his friends had to be willing to press past what seemed impossible and say, I'm still going on. I'm still pressing forward. And there was a meeting together of their efforts and God's healing virtue. Whenever we have gone as far as we can go, God's grace will meet us there. God's grace and His hand will reach out to us. But I'm going to have to be willing to get up and throw off the garments of discouragement and heaviness, the thoughts of despair and discouragement. I'm going to have to be willing to get up from that place and say, I'm going on. I'm pressing forward. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through. But the Lord will honor our efforts. Oh, may the Spirit of the Lord bring the right balance to His Word. This is not a salvation of works. This is not a salvation of, well, you just muster up enough effort and you'll be able to be a saint of God. You'll be able to have the victory if you just try hard enough. It's not about us trying hard enough. The Scriptures talk about, in fact, there being a place that we cease from our own labors and enter into His rest. Well, how does that balance out here? You know, there is a laboring that we can get into in our mind and in our spirit. A laboring of questions and of doubts and of figuring things out and of trying to solve my own problems where the Lord says, no, let me take that. But it doesn't replace the effort that I have to put in. The prodigal son had to come to himself, and he had to rise up, and he had to start to Father's house. And whenever he did his part and he put his effort into it, the Father came running and met him there. And so the Lord, whenever we are willing to put in what I can do, the Lord will meet us and take us the rest of the way. But the devil wants to get us in a place of discouragement. And sometimes people will wrestle with this discouragement and idea. Should I even try again? Should I even go down to the altar again? Should I even try to live this way anymore? Because I just don't know how to do it. And sometimes, you ever see people that try to get out of work? And people that'll spend as much effort trying to get out of work to where if they would have just applied that effort to the work, it'd be done now. But I want to find some kind of shortcut and some kind of way that I can get out of having to apply effort. So much of our technology today is geared towards that. And I'll have to say, thank the Lord in many cases for it. But there's something that we have to watch out for. And it is the desire to not have to put out effort. That effort can be replaced in a technological sense with so many different ways. But you know, when it comes to living for the Lord, there's no app for that. When it comes to living for the Lord, there's no magic pill to take here. And I can go down and maybe I get stirred up at camp meeting time or whatever it is, and I go to the altar and I seek the Lord for a need that I have. And I want to be able to find something there that's going to just carry me all the way through now until next camp meeting. Folks, we don't come down and swallow a magic annual pill. We don't come and get an annual dose of grace. There is still an effort that's going to be required on my part every day. And I can try to find some shortcut, or I can try to find some secret solution or answer to being able to live a victorious life. But you know, really, it's still going to come down to, I'm going to have to want this more than anything else in the world. I'm going to have to be willing to put the effort into this, to push past discouragement, to push past the naysaying and gainsaying and the doubts and the fears and all of those things. I'm going to have to want it enough that I push past all of that. I'm going to have to want it enough that I say no to myself when self says, you know, I'd really rather be out on the lake fishing today. And the Lord says, I got something good for you, a service today. I'm going to have to want it enough to say, this one thing have I chosen. This one thing that I desire. I want to see the glory of the Lord. I want the Lord's blessing to be on my life. It's not about what's lawful and unlawful. It's not about what's sinful and not sinful. And that's what alone governs the choices that I make. I'm interested now. When I have this kind of mindset, I want this. Lord, I want this. I want to make heaven my home. Lord, I want to be victorious. I want to see your glory working in my life. Lord, what is it that might hinder that from working in my life? Lord, how can I be strengthened in the things of the Lord? And maybe I look for a secret potion. The Lord says the secret is right before you this whole time. The secret's gathering dust on your shelf. The secret is every Sunday at 9:45. The secret is getting alone in your closet of prayer. It's those things that I can overlook saying, nah, but I want something more fantastic than that. I want to be able to just pray through and hit the rock, and now I've got it, and I've got all the power and the grace and the victory that I need. Folks, the Lord has that for us. But there's still a part that I'm going to have to be willing to play every day. This tendency or nature to avoid effort can come into the spiritual part of our lives as well, where I want to find ways to cut some corners. I want to find ways to not have to exert quite so much effort. Or over the course of time, I start getting a little bit spiritually lazy. Lethargy and complacency are some of the greatest dangers of our time today. We're still today, as in the days of John the Baptist, going to have to take this by force. We're going to have to be willing to be violent and take it by force when it comes to the things of my soul. Whatever effort is required, whatever sacrifice it takes, it matters not. I'm going on. I'm going all the way by the grace of God. The scripture in 1 Timothy, it says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Well, how much effort is invested? How many gyms are there in the city of Springfield or the state of Ohio? Memberships, probably a little fuller at the start of the year, around New Year's. But so many people that are willing to get up early and go and spend hours at the gym, usually with mirrors up so you can see your progress as you go. Selfies so everybody else can see it as well. And the Lord's saying there's something more important than that. There's a spiritual man that you need to be conditioning. There's a man of faith that you need to be building up here. You need to be exercising yourself in the things of the Lord. You need to be exercising yourself and being willing to maybe to pray out in service. Exercising yourself to be willing to get up and testify and say, this is what the Lord has done for me. This is what the Lord has taught me. Or I was struggling here and the Lord met me and He showed me this. And the Lord's been helping me in this line. In service or on the street or in the workplace. To exercise myself rather unto godliness. Because that's what's most profitable. And if they're willing to put the amount of effort that these athletes put in, how much the more should I be willing to put in? I don't believe the Lord's calling for us to be here 365 days a year, gathering together twice a day. I don't believe that's what the Lord requires. He does tell us, though, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. There's value in it. There's a conditioning. There's an exercising of a spiritual man that requires exercise. These bodies require something more even than starting out, as is easy to do. Somebody starts out an exercise program, buy a treadmill. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I wonder if any of you have ever done as I have, and you buy a piece of exercise equipment, and it gets used very faithfully for the next week, 2 weeks, and then maybe every other day. And then before you know it, it's something to store things on and put some boxes on. And just as our bodies, you don't condition in January for an Olympics in August or whatever it is, and then say, all right, I'm done, I'm ready. And then 8 months later, you go and compete. Because our bodies will not be in the condition they need to be in. So it is for us whenever the testing times come. We're going to need some faith. We're going to need some spiritual stamina. We're going to need some strength whenever the battle comes. Whenever I'm tested and I'm tried and discouraging thoughts come, I'm going to need something to be able to battle. I don't want to go into that and I'm huffing and puffing spiritually. And I'm so weak I can't hardly put a foot ahead of the other one. There's a conditioning that needs to happen every day, where I'm exercising myself in the things of the Lord. I'm exercising myself in the Word of God. I'm exercising myself in prayer. And I do that not just when the big things come along and I say, oh Lord, I just lost my job. Lord, I need You. Lord, this big thing just happened. I need You. I exercise myself. I condition myself. I put effort into it. Which means I deliberately say, Lord, you know, I think I've got this handled. But Lord, am I approaching this the right way? Lord, would You help me with this little thing here? Lord, I got a little pain here in my side. Lord, would You take care of that? And it starts with those things of a conditioning program, if you will, an exercise program that the Lord wants to start with the small things. I would probably die of heart attack if I did the intensity of the workouts that some of these athletes do on day one. I certainly wouldn't be getting out of bed the next day. But you don't start with that. You start building up and conditioning your body to the point. And again, keep in mind this parallel here that Paul drew from the passage we started with. People do that for the body over and over and over. They're consistent with it. Day after day after day, they keep with it. How much the more should we with the things of our soul? Day after day after day, we keep with it. We stick to it. We continue to invest in our soul. We continue to condition the spiritual man, the hidden man of the heart. This is all part of effort. And being willing to put in the effort required to make heaven. Because ultimately it's not about me sitting here today saying, I sure want to go to heaven. But not putting in any effort to get there. And then expect whenever my day comes that I'm going to be able to compete, so to speak. That I'm going to be able to be found ready. There's a conditioning. There's a preparation of getting ready for that day. That the Lord is faithful to prepare us. If I'm willing to put the effort in, if I'm willing to make this the most important thing of my life, the Lord will be faithful to bring into our lives those things to prepare us. You know, it really would do no good for some of these athletes. Whenever their trainer comes along and maybe they're sleeping in a little bit, knocking on the door and pulling them out of bed and hit the floor, 100 push-ups, it'd do no good for them to slap them and say, get out of here. They've got a purpose and a goal. But sometimes whenever the Lord comes along and the Lord's knocking and the Lord's saying, Clint, stir yourself. Clint, get up. Wake up. Awake thou that sleepest. And the Lord maybe brings something that's painful my way. And the Lord brings a trial my way. There's no need for me to say, Lord, how could You? And I just chafe under it and, oh, this is terrible. This is awful. No, the Lord, if I can continue the analogy, as the trainer trying to prepare me for heaven, is saying, child, I know what you need. I know what's going to be required to prepare you to be able to put off some things that are a hindrance to you right now. Folks, there's great value in our trials. There's great value in our temptations and persecutions and hardships that come our way. And the Lord knows that. And far too well He loves us to just let us sit back at ease and begin to go soft spiritually. The Lord is trying to prepare us for a crown of everlasting life. Folks, what a day it'll be. It'll be worth it. Whenever I have that crown presented to me, oh, the joy there'll be to be able to know I made it. And now I can enjoy the glory of this crown of righteousness forever and ever and ever with the Lord. No more denying myself. No more trials and afflictions and pain. I've made it. Those athletes have to remind themselves, I am sure, over and over again, there's a purpose. There's a reason why I'm doing this. I'd really rather be doing that. I'd really rather be doing that. No, I got to remember. This time is coming around. Olympics are going to be here before I know it. This competition is going to be here sooner than I realize. As Paul said, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Folks, it's closer than what we realize. It'll be here before we know it. Lord, I want to be ready. I sure don't want to lose out on that crown. I want to apply whatever effort is required for me to be able to hear him say, well done. You pray for me. Amen.